Welcome, everyone, to Chatham Community Church once again. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad that you're joining us for our online worship experience. Well, right around the latter half of my time in middle school, I entered into a different kind of world of parties. I entered into the world of parties, whether they were hosted by the school or hosted by people, by friends that were centered on dancing a lot more than the parties I attended when I was in elementary school. The DJs would cycle through different genres of music. Some songs would be in Spanish, some songs would be in English, some of the dancing would be in crowds, some of the dancing would be in people paired off. And the dance floor, you know, kind of flowed in terms of how full it was from time to time. And, you know, it would reliably empty out a little bit when the slow song would come up and, you know, some of the couples would pair off. But it would also empty out a little bit when salsa music came on. And as that was happening, I noticed two things. The first thing I noticed was that there were clearly a lot more girls that knew how to dance salsa than there were boys, because not only were girls dancing with boys, but girls were sort of paired off with each other as well. And the second thing I noticed is that it seemed like every boy who knew how to dance salsa was known to every girl around, every girl that was at the dance. And those boys were never without a dance partner during the salsa songs. And it didn't matter how old they were or how much of a height difference there was, they were always dancing. And so I came to a realization. I needed to learn how to dance salsa. So I started taking lessons. And let me tell y'all, I struggled. Now, I eventually picked up the steps, and I picked up how to do some turns, and I could do it without counting out loud, but I was never comfortable, and it showed whenever I was on the dance floor. I was quite wooden. I was always a little anxious. I never got it quite right. Now, what I've realized with the passing of the years is that dancing salsa is about way more than just knowing the steps and knowing the timing. You've got to take in the music. You've got to let it enter in and then move in response to that music. We're on the tail end of a series here at Chatham Community Church that we've called Make Room, Creating Space for God to Work. And we've been talking about the habits and practices that help satisfy the need or longing that all of us have, whether we realize it or not, for more of God, more of faith, more of spirituality, more of Jesus, because we were made for that connection. And when we develop that connection, when we make room, our lives start to make sense in ways that they didn't before. And today we're going to talk about worship. And we're going to talk about how we acknowledge who God is and what God has done. It's one of the main ways that we make room. Now, what exactly constitutes worship is incredibly broad. It covers lots of things, but we're going to take a very narrow focus today. We're going to focus on how we participate and engage in musical worship. For example, how we participate when we are in a church service, or how we participate and respond when we are listening to God-centered music elsewhere. And it's not just about our hearts, it's not just about our minds, it's about how we participate with our bodies, with our physical, with our physicality, what our physical response is like. Now, before you check out or think this is going to be weird, please know you're not going to have to learn any choreography at the end of this. I know that many of us, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect, and there's even a sense of awkwardness when we're in a worship service. There's a disconnect on what to do while we are singing. Some of us wonder, should we keep our eyes open? Should we close our eyes? Should we raise our hands up? Should we keep them down? Maybe there's a midpoint. Never mind how extended they should be. Can we sway a little bit? Is that allowed? Can we bop our head? Can we put a little bounce in our step? Now, theologian and author Richard Foster has given us a helpful definition for worship. He says that worship is our human response to God's divine initiative. So here's the thing, folks. Worship isn't about knowing the right answer to all those questions about what we should do while we start singing. It's not about knowing the steps. Worship is about taking in who God is and what he's done, what he's doing, and what we believe he is going to do, and then responding to that in whatever way we feel invited to. So let's take a look at a passage of Scripture that models that very action for us. So if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6? 2 Samuel is in sort of the first half of the Old Testament. So you look up 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're going to read starting in verse 12. Here we go. Now David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in his heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." Now, the ark of God was thought of as the footstool of God's throne. It represented a connection between the earthly and heavenly realms. It represented God's presence. It carried with it a sense of God's presence and God's blessing. And leading into this passage, David had been bringing the ark of God into Jerusalem, but it had been mishandled and someone had died and something shifted in David. David's view of the ark and of the God of that ark was shaken, and he decides to leave the ark out of the city. And the place where he leaves it starts to experience this incredible blessing, this incredible sense of the presence of God. It was so significant that it was evident to everyone that God was blessing that place, that God was blessing the people who were in that place. And when David hears about these things, things settle for him. And he goes there and follows through on what he had started to do. He returns to bringing the ark into Jerusalem. He wants the presence of God. He wants the blessing of God to be as close to the center of not only his life, but of the life of the kingdom as possible. Now, the process that is carried out as the ark is being brought up into Jerusalem is marked by a whole lots of things. There is music, there is singing, there is dancing, there is leaping, there is joy, there are acts of devotion. But I don't want us to miss out that all of these come in response to something. They come in response to the clear evidence of God's presence and blessing. Remember that earlier we said that worship is our response to God's divine initiative. Genuine worship flows out when we first take in the presence and blessing of God. Genuine worship can flow out when we first take in the presence and blessing of God. Now, taking in the blessing of God can take lots of different forms. It can happen in lots of different ways. For example, we can appreciate with our senses the way God's blessing is at play around us and in us. We can appreciate the breath of life that we have. We can appreciate seeing a person experience incredible peace in the midst of challenging circumstances. We can appreciate as we hear the words of songs that talk about God's blessing, God's favor in someone's life or in the community's experience. Now, for some of us, this might be especially helpful, especially if we're new to faith or if we're going through a hard time. Being able to see and experience with our senses, to see God's blessing and take it in that way is incredibly helpful. But we can also take in God's blessing by bringing to mind the many ways we've seen God's hand at work in our lives or in the lives of others in the past. We can remember. We can remember not only what God has done, we can also remember how we've experienced God's love in our lives in different times. Now, all of those and many more are ways to take in the blessing of God. Now, a little while back, I heard someone from our church community tell a story about their lives, and they talked about the first time that they walked into a church after having been gone and away for many years. And they described this feeling that came over them as they walked into church. It was this sense that they had and that they felt in their souls, in their heart, that they were home. I believe that what they were experiencing in that moment was the presence of God. Taking in the presence of God can look like that, right? We talked about taking in the blessing of God. Taking in the presence of God can look like that. A sense that we are at home, that we are where we belong, that we are where we're safe, that we are where we're loved. But for those of us who follow Jesus, there's this other facet of what it means to take in the presence of God, which is that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The presence of God isn't just experienced around us when we enter into a space or are in a particular space or environment. The presence of God dwells in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so to take it in sometimes involves just becoming aware of how God is dwelling with us, to invite God to make himself known, and then respond to that. So right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 10 seconds. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to take in the presence of God and the blessing of God. I'm going to be quiet for 10 seconds. And in that time, I want you to see what's around you, to remember, to ask God to make himself known, or to simply sense how it is that you feel in the space that you're in. Take 10 seconds to take in the presence and blessing of God. Take in the presence of God, and then let that propel how you respond in worship, because that's what David does. In fact, David does that in spades, right? You read the passage, and you get the sense that David just doesn't hold anything back. He goes all out. He responds to God's divine initiative. He responds to God's presence. He responds to God's blessing. And he does all sorts of things, right? He makes sacrifices. He dances. He leaps. He's taken off his kingly garments. He's got lots of people with him. They're shouting. There are trumpets. He's leading this whole process. He hands out food to people. And if that were the prescribed way to respond to God, if that's what worship always had to look like, it would be a really high bar. Maybe for some of us, it would even be impossible, not worth even trying to achieve. But it's in what those actions reflect that we can find what shapes how we can respond to God's work in our lives, to God's presence and God's blessing, how we can respond in worship, including how we might respond physically. So let's talk about a few of them. David's response reflects freedom. Now, leading up to this passage, David was afraid. We saw David afraid and pull back from the presence of God, pull back from the blessing of God. But here, he's all in. Here, he's all in, and he's free to respond accordingly as he's taken in the presence and blessing of God. Now, there's a passage in the New Testament that says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what we see in David is the response of a free person. Someone who is free. It's not because he dances. It's not because he shouts. It's not because he sacrifices and not because he leaps. It's because what we see in David is someone who is unencumbered by expectations. That's what it looks like for David to be free. He is unencumbered by expectation. Friends, the Spirit of the Lord is here. It's here where I'm at right now. It's here where you are. It's here in you if you are following Jesus. So can you let that freedom come? Can you let that freedom fill you? Can you let that freedom break through? Can you let that freedom fill you and shape your response? Can you respond in worship, in freedom? And that can look like a lot of different ways. I've seen free people whose responses range from full-blown dancing to simply turning their eyes up and smiling, from kneeling to standing straight. There is so much more. And I've seen people do all those things as well, and from a place that doesn't come from freedom. It's just performance, and it's always clear. I don't know what that's going to look like for you. You may already have an idea. Maybe you need to experiment. You just got to start trying. But whatever it might be, respond in freedom. Respond in worship from a sense that you are unencumbered, from a sense that God is with you and He has freed you from expectations. Now, along with that freedom, we see in David a sense of trust. In the passage, you get this idea, and sometimes it's explicitly stated, that some people don't think that what David is doing is very kingly. In fact, it's kind of embarrassing, is what people think. In the midst of this, David has to trust that God is who he says he is, that he is responding genuinely out of a sense of acknowledgement of God's blessing, out of a sense of acknowledgement of God's presence. He has to believe that. He has to be convinced of that. He has to trust that, in order to feel like he doesn't have to protect his reputation as king, like he doesn't have to concern himself with what people may say or think about him. David responds from a place of trust. And one of the things that shapes how we would respond in worship, if it's going to be genuine, is a sense of trust. Now, this may be a hard one, because image and perception are incredibly influential in our society. They are significant pressure on so many of us, and they are particularly significant pressures on those of us who are younger. And the fact is, you can't control what other people think. You can't control what other people say. And oftentimes, it can be hurtful. A few years ago, pictures were circulated online making fun of a man named Sean O'Brien because of his size and how he danced. And the picture showed him going from full-out dancing, unencumbered, enjoying himself, to realizing that he was being watched, that he was having pictures taken of him, and he was being made fun of. You can see his countenance change. You can see him sort of cave in on himself. It was heartbreaking. But in a wonderful turn of events, this community of people in the internet from all around the world decided that they were going to gather together with Sean to throw a dance party. They rallied together to throw a dance party with and for him. There were people, you know, regular people all the way to celebrities just pitched in on this and caught on with this. And two things were accomplished in this amazing party where everyone, including Sean, could dance freely. One, it was a clear rebuke of the bullies. It was a clear way of saying, this is not the type of people that we are going to be. This was not okay. The bullying was wrong. But the other thing that was accomplished was a restoration of Sean's trust that he could respond to music with all of who he was, and that there was nothing wrong with that, that he could continue to do that. Friends, I can't promise you that no one will ever think something about you, that no one will ever say something about you, that no one will ever point at you in hurtful or judgmental ways if you respond in genuine worship. I wish I could, especially in the church, but I can't. But I can't. I can't promise that no one will judge you if you raise your hands, or if you kneel, or if you prostrate yourself, or if you dance, or if you bop your head, or if you keep your eyes open. But there's two reasons to not let that stop you from responding out of a sense of trust. First is that God sees you. That God sees you and receives your genuine worship. He receives it regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what other people will think, and God is pleased. And the second reason is that there are far more of us that will celebrate you when you respond in worship from a place of genuine freedom and trust than those that will condemn you or judge you. So let your response in worship to God's presence and God's blessing flow from a place of trust. Place of trust that God sees, that God receives, and that God delights, and that those things are most important. Now, I want to take a quick moment to address men. Now, you may have already checked out, but if you did, come on, right here. Tune in for just a minute. Because one of the places of resistance I encounter with some men to participating in worship, especially in any way that involves physicality, is that that's just not what a man does, right? And especially dancing. That's completely unmanly. So here's what I'll say to that. The man who dances in this passage has slain a giant in one-on-one combat. He's gathered men around him as he's fled from persecution. They have followed him into hiding and then followed him into battle. He has slain wild animals who have attacked the flocks that he is shepherding. This man has led armies, and he is a king of a nation. So unless you've checked all those boxes and so many more, it's time to stop deciding that things like dancing or responding in worship physically are unmanly and actually engage in responding to the heart of the Father, responding how God is inviting you to. Now, for some of us, it might be that responding, we're not sure if we get it right or wrong. So here's what I'll say to that. There's nothing in this passage that tells us that the way that David responded, that he danced the right steps, that he shouted the right ways, that he was even in key. What it does tell us is that he responded with all his might, with all his heart, with all of who he had. You and I can respond in that way as well, whether or not we can clap on beat, whether or not we can sing in tune. Here's the reason why. The stakes are high, not just for us, but for all around us. The passage contrasts David's response to his wife, Michal. Michal doesn't go. Michal stands apart. Michal judges. Michal belittles. Michal decides that protecting her status, their status as the royal family, is more important than worshiping God. And Michal misses out. Not only does she miss out, but her legacy is fruitlessness. Michal passes nothing on. And on the other hand, you've got David. David engages. David responds to God's presence and blessing. David gives it all he's got, all his might. David holds nothing back, and the people around him are blessed. Good flows out to them and to his household, and David's legacy carries to this very day. The Savior of the world, Jesus, comes from David's line. When we respond with genuine worship, good overflows and legacies are built. That's what's at stake, folks. So let's engage. Which path do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the path that leaves nothing behind, that stands in judgment, that scorns, that disengages, that doesn't pass anything on, the path that is fruitless? Or do you want to be on the path that leaves a legacy, that overflows in blessing and good? Which path do you want to be on? It's time to get on the path. It's time to take maybe the next step on the path that overflows with good, that overflows with blessing, that leaves a legacy worth celebrating. It's time to worship God with all you've got. Start today to worship God with all you got, whatever that may look like, whether it's simply nodding your head, all out dancing, or somewhere in between. We're going to have some time to respond to that today. We're going to have some time to respond and try to take the next step in worshiping God with all we've got. The worship team is going to lead us in a few songs in just a bit. And I'm going to invite you to stay on and engage. First, I'm going to invite you to welcome the Holy Spirit. They're going to lead us in that. Welcome the presence of God. Soak that in. Take it in. Embrace it. And then when they sing a song that's going to be a little upbeat, respond. Respond and know that there is no prescription of what your response needs to look like. But I'm fairly confident that God is inviting us to worship him with all we've got. So whatever that looks like, do it today. Do it today. Don't hold back. Worship God with all your might. We've also got our prayer team on standby on a Zoom call. Whether you need freedom and breakthrough in order to worship God with all you've got, or you have other prayer needs, the Zoom call information is in the chat in the show more section of the video. Feel free to tag on and get with those people. They'd be glad to pray with you. Now let me pray for us as we worship and enter into the presence of God. Almighty Father, we pray for your presence to fill and just be present wherever people are. Give us a sense of how you're inviting us to worship you, to respond, to dance, to move, to clap, to smile, to kneel, to stand, to prostrate ourselves, to raise our hands or to keep them clenched, whatever, Lord. May we give you what we have. May we experience freedom and respond in trust. In Jesus' name, amen.